If you need a handout, raise your hand and we'll get one. It looks kind of like this today. Got a calendar on it. In this class, we're talking about the last few weeks of Jesus' ministry. And today's lesson is about the last Passover. You get a calendar today. And if you don't recognize, Nisan is the name of a month. That's a Jewish name. It's the name of the first month of the year in the spring. The Jews began their calendar with this particular month. And it was the first, it began on the first new moon after the vernal equinox. Technical term. What's a vernal equinox? That's the day when the days and nights are the same length. It's the start of our period of spring. And so we talked last week as we were finishing our lesson about the new moon. Yes. Abib. That's right. Okay, so last week we mentioned that back in Exodus chapter 12, you had on your handout last week the major scriptures about the Passover. And it was called the month of Abib, A-B-I-B, Abib, or something like that. And later, after the Babylonian captivity, they adapted new names for their months. Babylon was a center of a lot of science in the old days, and the Chaldeans had developed more sophisticated calendars, and so they adapted some of those terms when they came back from Babylonian captivity, and the month of Abib was changed to Nisan. And I learned in my studies this week that at about the same time, they started their new year not in the spring, but in the fall. So, but every month began with a new moon. Remember, we were talking about that last week. And this week, we had a new moon. I don't know if any of you saw it. It was first visible Tuesday night, and Tuesday night was cloudy, and so we couldn't see it. But Wednesday night, it was 2 days old, and you could see it. It had cleared off, and you could see the new crescent moon, and it looked pretty much like it did the first night. We know that because the moons look alike at the same stages every time. But it was behind the clouds, and so you couldn't see it. But it was a little further from the sun, and so at sunset, it was a little more visible. And last week, we talked about the fact that if they went out to see the new moon, And it was cloudy or a bright sunset or hazy or smoky, they wouldn't see the moon, and they would go back the next night to see it. And when they first saw it, then they would declare a new moon and hold a feast, the feast of the new moon. I don't know if they held French fries and hamburgers in their freezer or what the deal was for that particular feast. I don't know. We're not told what they ate or how they did it, or if they just took an ordinary supper and had a special prayer, we're not sure. But anyway, that's mentioned many times in the Old Testament, the feast of the new moon. So the new moon began the month. And because the new moon, sighting that moon at sunset, you see it for just a few minutes and then it sets just like the sun did. And so it doesn't last long. Because the month began that way, the days also began with evening. You might have wondered why did they have the peculiar idea of starting the day with sunset instead of doing it with sunrise? That would have made more sense to me. And the way we do it now doesn't make any sense at all. In the middle of the night when everybody's asleep, we begin a new day. But it isn't important, is it, to us like it was to them? Because we have clocks. And so we know things that are happening. In fact, later on I'll show you some information that NASA has developed by going back in time. In a computer, they can tell when the new moons were back in the time of Christ. So we know pretty much what the date was when this particular new moon was. The other thing we were doing last time when we finished class, I asked you to build a timeline, and I gave you the first two or three items in the line, and you see the finished timeline at the top of your handout. And so you see the things we're going to talk about here. We're down to Wednesday in our discussion today. And you might wonder how we establish this. And so it goes back to that business of knowing that Jesus was resurrected on what day of the week? On a Sunday, right? The first day of the week. And that's repeated many times in the Bible. We know that's the case, and it was specified in all four of the Gospels. If Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days and nights, which he said he would in connection with what? Remember when the Pharisees asked him for a sign, and he said, you're not going to get any sign other than what? Sign of Jonah. That as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish. And incidentally, while I'm still there, I've often wondered if Jonah died in the fish and was resurrected. I don't know that you could survive 3 days and nights in the fish, but he did. And either he survived it or he was resurrected when the fish spit him out on land. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the fish, in the depths of the sea, Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. And so that's the sign that's the only miraculous sign that they would get. But of course, it's a major event. So, working backward, we know the things that happened on Thursday, which is Wednesday night. Okay, everybody with me on that? When the sun set Wednesday night, then they had the Last Supper. They had a long discussion that we're going to talk about next week. And then they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there was the prayer, and then there was the arrest, and all of the things that are listed there, the trial during the night and the next morning, and then the crucifixion. So that all happened not on Good Friday, the way the world thinks it must have, and we'll look at the reason why they think that's the case. Not on Good Friday, but on Good Thursday. That doesn't make any sense, does it, to say? And what's good about it? So anyway, it was on Thursday that he was crucified. And working backward, then Wednesday was the day of preparation. And we'll look at some scriptures that show that, in his view, he was having the Passover that night. And then so that's how we worked out the rest of that timeline that you have in the handout. And so we want to look, we'll look in our class today at this calendar that I prepared for you. There's some very interesting things when you take the time to diagram out what you're reading. Passover. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8, Paul says there's something special about the Passover. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Now, he doesn't go on to explain why the Passover, and so we need to talk about that a little bit. Why not some other sacrifice that the Jews made? Why is it the Passover that's important? So we'll look at that. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast. The bread of sincerity and truth. And so he makes a connection there with bread and the Passover, because the feast of unleavened bread immediately followed the Passover supper, right? And you read that in the handout that I gave you last week. So Christ is our Passover. We need to understand why that's the case and how that was handled. So here was the timeline I gave you last week. I added in on Tuesday, there was some teaching at the temple and some discussion with the Pharisees and Sadducees and so on. And then Wednesday, this is the verse that I was talking about a while ago, where the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to him asking for a miracle, a miraculous sign, and he said, none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. So there we have that 3 days and nights in the belly of a huge fish. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning doesn't make 3 days and three nights by anybody's real reasoning, and so it's got to be the other way. But we'll reaffirm that as we go along. So here's the handout that you have, the timeline in your handout. So we don't have to dwell on that. We've already looked at it. He would be in the tomb Friday and Saturday and resurrected on Sunday. Thursday night, too. Last week I showed you the new moon. This is an authentic picture taken in eastern Turkey near a desert, showing the new moon shortly after sunset, and it's clearer at the desert than it is anywhere else. Certainly we had trouble seeing the new moon on the first day after the conjunction of the sun and the moon because of all the trees. But when the air is clear and it gets dark quickly after sunset, then the moon is visible. And so that would declare the first day of the month. And now, recall also that when that new moon happened, Jesus was not in Jerusalem. Remember, we read a verse of Scripture that said, because of the threats of the Pharisees, they were going to take his life. He and his disciples retired to a city, not a city, but a village called Ephraim, about 10 miles distant from Jerusalem. And it says also it was on the edge of the desert. So we assume from the schedule that we have here that there was a new moon. Jesus was not in Jerusalem. He was there. But he has authority. He has all authority, really. And so he saw the new moon and declared that day. And you see on your calendar, Thursday would be the new moon. Would be the first day of the month of Nisan. So the new moon was seen on Wednesday night. The conjunction of the sun and the moon was on Tuesday. But you can't see the moon when it's that close to the sun. You certainly can't see it in the daytime. And so you can only know that it's there when there's a special event, an eclipse of the sun. Then we know there's a conjunction at some other time. We know exactly when the conjunction, when the sun and the moon coincide. All right, so he sees the new moon Wednesday night. He declares Thursday to be the first, Friday the second, Saturday the third. And so I put this in the familiar form of the calendar you have on the wall in your kitchen somewhere, maybe attached to your refrigerator. And you go down to the 10th day of the month. And what happens on the 10th day? When you read back in Exodus, he said on the 10th day, you select the lamb. Now, they selected the lamb on the day they sacrificed the lamb. This happened rather suddenly in the time in the original Passover. But in the memorial, the 10th day of the month was to be the day they go select a lamb. What are the qualifications for the lamb? A male without flaws, and it could be either from the sheep or the goats, was a specification there. But later in history, all of them came from the sheep. So they go select a lamb, then what do they do with it? Pin him up, isolate him, feed him and water him and care for him until the 14th day. And you see that occurs on Wednesday. The first of the month was on Thursday. The 14th day, they slaughter the lamb at twilight. All right? And what do they do with it? They roast it. They don't boil it. They don't do any other cooking with it. They roast the lamb whole. That's kind of interesting too. And then they eat it that night. And they don't leave any of it until the next day. If there's any left over, what do they do with that? They burn it. Okay? So that lamb is gone. And then they begin the feast of unleavened bread, and they eat the lamb with unleavened bread. And so then for 7 days, they hold an assembly, it says in the 12th chapter of Exodus, on the day of the Passover there. And it's called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and it's to be a holy day, a day in which there's no work done. And then they go 5, 6, 7 more days to the 21st, and they hold another assembly and another day of rest, another special Sabbath. And that completes the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Question. That's right. I wonder, what do you think? If you go traipsing out into the pasture and pick a lamb and lick him all over, look him all over, not lick him all over. Make sure he has no flaws. And then you carry him off to the pen and you prepare his feed and water. Would they do that on the Sabbath? I mean, if God told them to, wouldn't they do it? Well, now, wait a minute. You know, when I looked at that, I said, let's give these people the benefit of the doubt. There's two reasons why they might not catch the first day of the month correctly. And that's the story that we're going to look at here, is that the Jews in Jerusalem began their month on a Friday instead of Thursday. And we'll look at the verses that detect that. And so I said, let's assume that they just went out to look for the new moon and it was cloudy and they didn't see it. And they went back on Thursday evening, which was the beginning of Friday. And they saw the new moon and they declared that to be the first of Nisan. Now Jesus was somewhere else. And when he comes to Jerusalem, probably the Friday before the Sunday where we had the royal entrance of the king, that then he learned they had set another schedule. And we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say they just didn't see the new moon the first day. They saw it on the second day that it was there. But this other possibility intrigues me. You know what the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought about the Sabbath. How many rules and regulations had they made about the Sabbath? Hundreds of rules and regulations defining what you could do and could not do, right? Could you flip a light switch and turn on a light? Do you know that the Jews in this day and age, at least the conservative Jews in New York, turn on all their lights before sunset on Friday? So they don't have to flip a switch during the weekend. Because that's work. Going out and picking a lamb, do you think that'd be work? I think it would. And also, if you didn't have a lamb, what do you do? I mean, all the people in Jerusalem didn't raise lambs, so what do they got to do? They got to go buy one. And do we want all that trade going on the Sabbath? I think that offended the Jewish leaders. So they said, what do we do? If we have a month that's going to begin, and they had a rough idea of when to expect the new moon, if it's going to begin on Wednesday night, and the first day of the month is on Thursday, then on the selection of the lambs is going to fall on Saturday, on the following Saturday week. We can't have that. We can't have all these people out running around on the Sabbath getting a lamb. Let's don't even go look for the new moon Wednesday night. we'll just assume it's not there. We'll start on Thursday night. We'll look for the new moon and begin their calendar on Friday. And so, how would Jesus feel about that? Did he ever complain about them setting aside the rules that God had given because of the rules that they had made? Yeah, he did. So when they saw this, they said, we're not going to have a month that of Nisan that begins on Thursday. We're going to work with one that starts on Friday. And that leads to a lot of confusion as you read through these scriptures, because you'll see the day of preparation for Jesus was on a Wednesday. The day of preparation for the Jews was on a Thursday. All right? Now, you'll notice down here by the Jewish scheme of things, they slaughtered the lamb on the afternoon of the 14th. And incidentally, they had thousands of lambs to slaughter. In Jerusalem, the priests did all of the slaughtering. In fact, that had been the tradition for a long, long time. And so they didn't start at twilight. They started after lunch. I think they did it all afternoon long, slaughtering the lambs. Then Friday was an assembly and the first day of unleavened bread. Now you will see some references to the day of preparation as being the first day of unleavened bread. And that's an adaptation, because they had to bake the bread the day before. And so the other thing they had to do, and it's something the Jews still do to this day, is that they send the children out on a sort of a traditional search to remove all of the leaven from the house the day of preparation. They send them scurrying. It's sort of like our tradition that you might see of the kids hunting for Easter eggs. They would hide some leavened bread, a bit of dough somewhere in the house, and the kids had to find it. But God had told them to remove all leaven from their premises, all leaven from their houses, before the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So, that is sometimes referred to as the first day. But on the 15th would be an assembly, a special Sabbath. Special Sabbath. Turn over, and I don't have this on the screen, but if you look in John chapter 19. This jumping ahead a bit, because we'll get to this later on, but when Jesus died on the cross, verse 31. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. What would make it special? Well, it's the assembly on the first day of unleavened bread. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. And you remember, we'll talk about that later on. So it was a special Sabbath. And so there were two Sabbaths that week. In their scheme of things, there was one on the 15th, and then the ordinary Sabbath was on the 16th. That accounts for most of the problems that you'll find in the story as you read through. If you realize that was the case, then you see what people have misunderstood was that special Sabbath. And the other thing that supports this idea is the first verse of the 26th chapter of Matthew. Might turn there. No, that's not the 26th chapter. Let's see. The 28th chapter, I'm sorry. Matthew 28:1. Now, in the NIV and in most translations, it says, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, then Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. But if you look at the Greek, and I know you say, well, hey, that's unfair, we don't read Greek, but it says after the Sabbaths, back-to-back Sabbaths. There were two of them, consecutive. It's the plural word there, sabbaton with an omega instead of the O. The one that's shaped like a W, what is that omega? Yeah. And the singular has an O, omicron, that's right. All right. So there's a problem, you see, and when you read this, you got to keep track of whether or not we're talking about the calendar that the Jews were using or the calendar that Jesus was using. All right, let's look at how this plays out. Luke 22, verses 7 and 8, and then down to verse 13, we may talk about the verses in between as well. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. And he gave them some instructions about how to find where they were going to eat it. You might remember that story, a man carrying a water jar. They were to carry him and he would show them a large upper room. Where they were to prepare the Passover. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. Now, is Jesus and his disciples going to eat a standard, traditional Passover? Would he say that, or would he give additional instructions? Let's have a Passover without the lamb. He didn't say that. Burton Kaufman, I think, made a mistake in this particular case. He said they didn't eat the Passover because they didn't eat it standing up. And that was the instruction back in Exodus. But why did they have to stand up when they ate the Passover, the original Passover? They were ready to go in a hurry. If they had to, had their clothes on, and they were ready to grab their suitcases and run. And so they ate it standing up. But it had never been eaten standing up since then. And the fact that Jesus and his apostles were eating it reclining caught Burton Kaufman's eye. And he said he thought that this wasn't the Passover. But then he didn't sort out the two different calendars that they were using. All right. Yes. That's right.
But it really means rest.
It means rest, yeah.
So, in conjunction with it possibly not being on the seventh day, then the true Sabbath, the meaning of the Sabbath, was that it was to be a rest.
A rest day. In Exodus 12, it says there will be no work done on these special days. So, it's just like Saturday, the ordinary Sabbath. Now, you can see that the Jews went by the other calendar in John 18, verses 28 and 29. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. And by now it was early morning. And this was the day he was crucified. He had eaten the Passover the night before, but it's the same day. After the day began at sunset, then he goes through his trial. And they lead him to the Roman governor. Who's the Roman governor? Pilate. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. It doesn't say that evening. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover, but they hadn't eaten it yet. And so the implication is it's the coming evening they would eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? And we'll talk about his trials later on. So it's clear that Jesus had his Passover meal the night he was betrayed, and the Jews were going to have their Passover meal the next night. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy got in the way up there, but I think we can read it. This is Deuteronomy 16, where they're repeating Moses is repeating the information about the Passover. Observe, what does that say? Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, because in the month of Abib became Nisan later on. We've already talked about that. He brought you out of Egypt by night. Sacrifice as the Passover to the Lord your God, an animal from your flock or herd, at the place the Lord will choose as a dwelling for his name. So that's going to be either at the tabernacle or later on in Jerusalem. Now the first Passover was celebrated where? In Egypt, wasn't it? Where the Jews lived. All right. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. Let no yeast be found in your possession in all your land for 7 days. And that's that hunt down the yeast and destroy it, or bury it, I guess. Do not let any of the meat you sacrificed on the evening of the first day remain until morning. You must not sacrifice the Passover in any town the Lord your God gives you, except in the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. There you must sacrifice the Passover in the evening when the sun goes down on the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. Roast it and eat it at one place the Lord your God will choose. Then in the morning, return to your tents. See, this is the first of the Sabbaths. For 6 days, eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day, hold an assembly to the Lord your God, and do no work. So they observed those two special Sabbaths. That's not called into question. The timing is the only thing that would be a problem. So why is Jesus our Passover lamb rather than one of the other lambs used in the various Jewish sacrifices? And when you think about it, I think you can come to this conclusion. The original Passover was a unique event. It only happened once. The original one. All of the other Passovers were what? Observances in memory of the original event. That's item number 3. The Passover in item 2 was sufficient to free the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Right? It convinced Pharaoh to let the people go. And Pharaoh is symbolic of Satan in this scheme of things as you look at the comparisons. And so they were freed from bondage, and Christians are freed from the bondage to Satan, sin. And so that one sacrifice of the lamb. Now, there's a lamb for each family, right? Each family had a lamb, but the whole put together, a sacrifice of the Passover, was what freed them from Egyptian bondage, and it's what frees us. The sacrifice of Christ frees us from bondage to Satan. The blood of the ultimate Passover lamb can free all humanity from bondage to sin. So you see the reason why it was that rather than some other sin sacrifice that the Jews offered. So Christ is our Passover because that set us free. Now, let's look at that celebration of that Passover. After he had told them to prepare the Passover, this is familiar. I'm sure all of you are well aware of it and have read it and talked about it many, many times. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. And so he's still talking about the Passover. I can't imagine that it would be anything other than the typical Passover meal that the Jews ate in memory of the original Passover. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So how is it going to find fulfillment? Well, it represents something that's going to be transferred into the kingdom, isn't it? Something about the Passover is prophetic about something in the kingdom. After taking the cup, and he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And then he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, and again saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is now is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So you're familiar, I'm sure, with that scene. But there is the idea of remembrance in both the Passover, remembering how the Jews were freed from Egyptian bondage, and the memory in the Lord's Supper of how his sacrifice freed us from bondage to Satan. So, is it clear? This is not an easy thing to think about, because it isn't explained to us that there were two different schedules going on, and the Jews were going to have their Passover a day later than Jesus and his disciples did. But the key to that, I think, is that the month began for the two groups of people, Jesus and his disciples, and the people in Jerusalem, began in different places. And Jesus made his determination when he was in Ephraim when to begin and set his schedule for this particular month while he was separated from Jerusalem. But it is fortuitous, in a way, but I think it was planned by God, that this should happen. Why? Well, when Jesus hung on the cross and was dying in the crucifixion, the Jewish priests were killing the Passover lambs that afternoon at the temple. An exact parallel. And so Jesus died at the same time the Passover lambs died. The selection of the Passover lambs, according to the Jewish scheme of things, happened when? On the first day of the week, on Sunday, when Jesus was passing through the gate on the donkey leading into Jerusalem. And the parallel there is the selection of the lamb. They hailed him as whom? The king, the descendant of David, the king of the Jews. Really, it doesn't say that, but that's implied. And so he was the chosen one at that point. And then at the same time that the Jews were choosing their lamb to sacrifice in the Passover celebration. Do you follow that? And so then when Jesus was crucified, what was the sign they put above his cross? King of the Jews. Yeah. It's interesting how the enemies of Jesus did all of this, not realizing that they were fulfilling prophecy, or that they were making it turn out the way that it did. The leaders of Israel had determined to kill Jesus, but again and again you'll read in the Gospels, but not during the Passover. Why? Might be a riot. So they were wanting to wait and murder him privately at some later time. But they didn't get their wish, did they? They were overruled by whom? By Jesus and by God. They were in charge of all of the events of this week. Keep that in mind as you read it. So there you have it. It's kind of interesting when you diagram it out and look at it, you realize how the zeal of the Pharisees and Sadducees to keep the Sabbath from being desecrated could change things the way they did.
I don't know that I want to accuse them of that. That seems almost too much. I assume they just made a mistake, didn't start it on the right day. But they may deliberately have skipped this arrangement each time it came around, every 7 or 8 years, and deliberately avoided selecting the lamb on the Sabbath. Any questions or comments? Yes. Well, it says the Passover. Now, I assume that Jesus understood everything that was involved in preparing a Passover feast. But the point has been made by some scholars that Jesus was the Passover lamb and they didn't need the other lamb. But in my view, that changeover from the meat of the Passover lamb to the body and blood of the ultimate Passover didn't occur until Jesus said it did. This is my body, this is my blood. Now, he had said earlier something about those who wanted life, who would have life in them, were those who ate his flesh and drank his blood, and the people took offense at it. You remember that? But he was talking about something that would happen later on. I don't think you can say that transfer occurred until Jesus said it did. And it was after the Passover meal. So I assume that they ate the lamb like they were supposed to, went through the entire ceremony the way it was supposed to be done. It may not be the way the Jews were doing it at the time. It was the way Jesus and God wanted it done. That's what they would have done. Do you agree? Disagree? The world has not understood this week at all. They think Jesus was killed on Friday. They think that there were mistakes made as to whether it was Thursday or Wednesday, and it's all confusing. It doesn't make any sense. But I think when you sort it out, it does make sense. I don't think there's any errors in it at all. I think it's all straightforward if you understand that they began on different days. They began their month on different days. Yes. That doesn't change.
That doesn't change, whether it's, you know, the first day of the week or it's just where they start the month.
Because the week is determined by counting off 7 days and a Sabbath and then seven more days and another Sabbath. That goes on and on and on and on, whether or not there's ever any change in the month. And it's kind of interesting, there was a big brouhaha at the time that the Julian calendar was changed to the Gregorian calendar. Did any of you ever read about that? Because the week was shortened to 4 days or something. And when do we meet? Do we go by the civil calendar? It was decades before they got that straightened out. You can imagine. There were people counting off 7 days, and this is Sunday. But are the Jews, this is Saturday. But they had decreed that the calendar would shift. And they lost most of a month or something in the process. I don't remember the details, but it's an interesting story. It happened historically, what, 300 or 400 years ago? I don't know exactly. Question. No, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't recall when it happened that way. I suspect it may have been declared so by the fathers of the church at some point. I don't know after the church became the official religion of the Roman Empire, but I don't really know. That's a good question. That's a good thing to look up. I don't know when Good Friday began as Good Friday. Nick.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Preparation. Yeah, the day of preparation. Yeah, there may have been a mistake in the translation.
You know, Elton, isn't it comforting to know that whenever man just takes the bit in his teeth and he's going to do his thing his way, he's in control, to know that God has an umbrella over all this in spite of the heathen raging and God's working his plan out.
I think that's true. Yes, that's comforting. God's in control. We worry about the collapse of our economy or the people in power, but always remember, God's in control. God's in control. Thank you very much. Our time is gone. Next week we're going to look at his discussion with his apostles after the feast.